Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Miss Morgan, there were two of us, I know, at least with you on your swimming example today. More? Any more? I know Sophia and I were talking about it just before we came in. Yeah, we were right there with you. A lot of times we need some support, don't we? The gospel lesson today ended this way. Now, when all the people were baptized and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice came to him from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Baptism. Baptism. Today we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. How many of you have been baptized? See a lot of hands here? Okay. Put your hands down. Next question. How many of you remember your baptism? Oh, you. I was thinking we would have fewer than that. You must not have been Episcopalians when you were baptized. I clearly remember my baptism. I was 12 years old, and my younger brother and I were among some others who were baptized that evening. The church I was raised in was not Episcopal, and so up in the front, there was a part of the floor that lifted out of place, and beneath it was a baptismal pool. And I guess it was about waist deep in water. And it had stairs you would go down on each side. So the pastor went down on one side. And we, the baptismal candidates, one by one, would go down to be baptized. And I clearly remember him looking at me and me looking at him. And he said, or asked me, "Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus, his only son? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?" And I said, "With all my heart, I believe." That was a long time ago. The day after that, I thought I would feel something different. I didn't. Nor the day after that, nor the day after that, nor the day after that. What about this baptism? I had a lot of questions, a lot of doubts. But in the church I was raised in, you didn't have doubts, and you didn't question anything about God because it would be interpreted as being an affront to God. So we didn't want to mess with God, okay? Not in that way. I finished high school, went to college, and when I did that, I left all of it behind. I felt, you know, it was irrelevant. Didn't mean that much to me at that point. And so I would just go on my own way. When I was in college, I took organ lessons. I wasn't majoring in music, but I loved the pipe organ, and so I studied it. And one day, one of the professors came to me and said, "Steve, I am the organist of an Episcopal church, and I am leaving to get another degree. Do you think you might be interested in taking that position?" Now, note this. There were music majors there. I was not. In voice, in organ playing, and everything. None of it. She asked me, and I don't know why, but I said yes. Yes, I will. And boy, did not know what I was getting into. The Book of Common Prayer. Never heard of such a thing. The music, I never heard these hymns before. And chanting, oh my goodness, how do you do that? I had three members of my choir who were college professors. Not at my college, thank goodness, but they were three college professors. I did not know why I said, I will, but I did. I had not a clue what to do. Fortunately, the woman who was leaving to get the degree and my organ professor helped me learn how to play hymns, learn how to teach chant, and learn how to teach anthems and so forth. I look back at that and I cannot believe that at the age of 18, I said, I will. I moved to Baltimore after college, joined an Episcopal church there, and got to know the associate priest pretty well. And we would have lunch together because I worked in downtown Baltimore, and the church was there too, and so we would meet. And he knew I was seeking something. So that's what our conversations would be about. And he said, Steve, what is it you are really, really interested in? And I said, I don't know how to describe it other than to say this. In the church in which I was raised, there were a lot of young people. We had wonderful classes. We learned all about the Bible. We had fun together. We did all these things, sang in the choir. It was all of this sort of thing. And in the Episcopal Church, where are the kids? Where are the young people? That's the vacuum I think I want to address. And there's no teaching of that. So Fred, the associate priest, said, Steve, I think you better go to seminary. I think you might learn some things there. They'll help guide you. So I went to seminary, and I learned a whole lot there, and I loved it. I particularly loved the courses in the Bible. It was so, so interesting, especially my Old Testament professor. He lived it, and you could tell he lived it, and because he lived it and loved it, we lived it and loved it too. It was all that way, but what then? The church after seminary that I went to was one that I was to serve a year at. The bishop put me there for a year. It was a progressive church. They were dealing with, this was a long time ago, they were dealing with issues of racism in Baltimore and how that impacted neighborhoods. And the young people were involved in that and interested in that. We had an active youth program there. It was a lot of fun. One of the things that happened to me that I hope never happens again, we went to a demolition derby. Somebody in the congregation knew somebody, and they got us in. And not only did they get us in, we were right in the front row. And I just knew one of those jalopies was going to turn over and run into this barrier, or a tire would fly off of it or something like that. I thanked the good Lord we got out with nothing like that happened. Our daughter Anne was born while we were in Baltimore. We loved Baltimore, still do. Kim Van Cura in the choir, she lived the next block up from where we lived at the same time. We didn't know it then, we found it after we got here. But anyway, that was we had a wonderful time there. After that, the bishop appointed me to a church in Braddock Heights, Maryland, which is a little community just west of Frederick, Maryland. It's on the Catoctin Mountains. Camp David is about 12 miles north of where we lived. And of course, it was on a mountain, so it was named Church of the Transfiguration. That was when some of my vision began to come into focus. There were a lot of young people there. It was a lot of young adults, children, all kinds of things. And it was all very interactive. And I thought, here is a clue to what I'm looking for. At one point, some of the young people came to me and they said to me, there's nothing to do here in Braddock Heights on the weekend. There's nothing to do in Frederick but go to the movies. We want to do something. And I said, well, what is it you want to do? We want to have a coffee house. Now, I know where they got that idea. They had coffee houses down in Georgetown in Washington. And I'm sure they heard of people going down there and going to those. But they said, our coffee house is going to be different. The only space in which it could be had was our basement of the church, which is where we had everything. That's where we had meals. That's where we had all our classes after church and that sort of thing. We're going to have it down there. We're going to move all the furniture aside. We're going to bring in blankets. We're going to have incense sticks. We're going to have an ambience. People can read poetry. They can write poetry. They can do dance. They can play the guitar. It's going to be wonderful. And the congregation was behind it 100%. That was on Saturday nights. On Sunday night, when you went into church, you could smell all of the odors coming up from the the coffee house that was held the night before. They named it. They said, Father Steve, we have a name. I said, what is it? We're going to call it Zurshaddy. I said, where in the world did you get that name? They said, from the Bible. I said, show it to me. And they did. They hadn't studied Hebrew, so they didn't know how to pronounce it. But I thought Zurishaddai sounded kind of neat, don't you? It's Zurishaddai, which is one of the words, one of the names for God in the Old Testament. So it was the Zurishaddai. The congregation really supported that. And you know what? The coffee house attendance grew, and it grew, and it grew. And we had to make some rules. Once you came in, you couldn't leave. I mean, if you left, you had to leave the premises. We didn't want people hanging around in the dark outside. It got to overflowing. Fortunately, in Braddock Heights, which had been a kind of a resort area, they'd been an amusement park, and there was a large building there, not in real good shape, but it had been a dance hall or a roller skating rink or something. I loved it because it didn't have windows, it had flaps that you'd prop up so you could have open air. Well, Zurishaddai moved into it and took over. And it went until everybody was just kind of worn out. You know, it was a lot of responsibility. And the kids who started it had graduated and were going on. And sometimes you have to say goodbye to things like that. But the point is, everybody cooperated and helped out. And I said, this is the kind of thing I think I want to pursue. And it's very interesting as I look back. Some of you who might be my age and look back, it's a lot of years, isn't it? I look back at what happened. During that time, I was asked to do summer conferences in the diocese. I had never done that before. I was asked to help lead conferences that they were starting at the Episcopal Conference Center, Canoga, in New York, North Carolina. I had no idea what I was getting into. We had 250 high school people on that mountainside, and if you've been to Canoga, they don't have dormitories, they have cabins. So here these kids were scattered all around that mountain in these cabins. We had to have a night patrol for that. But they came from all over, and we did biblical studies. We had fun. We had music. We had dances. We had swimming. Whatever you wanted to do, we had a great time. By that time, Jeremy was born, and So I'm glad that Gail and Ann and Jeremy got to enjoy a lot of us this with me. I was also asked at one point if I would become, the National Episcopal Church was going to have an organization for young people, and they were going to do it by provinces. The Episcopal Church has provinces. The one they wanted me, I was in Province 4. You're in Province 4. It's 20 dioceses. South, North Carolina South, Mississippi eastward, except a part of Louisiana is also in Province 4. That's a lot of young people. We did a national conference the first time all over the United States. Each diocese got to send people. This conference was planned primarily by youth. There were adults there, but it was designed, implemented, and planned by youth. And what we learned was what great contributions young people make to the life of the community. And not only that, people from this parish help support these things, even at a distance. The Canoga conferences that we had, they didn't give us much money to work with. But the people of this parish and of this diocese helped us a lot. Of course, we had leadership from all of the United States on the team, but Holy Innocents and Southwest Florida did a lot. What I learned from this, looking back, is it's about working together. Nathan is going to be baptized in a few minutes, and you're going to make a promise. You're going to make a promise to support him. And it's not just words, it's actually supporting. And when you stop and think about it, when we say that, it's not only him, it's about all of us supporting one another. We are a team for the Lord. We are the body of Christ, the church. We work together, we work together, we work together. So I finally learned what I wanted to do was work with and among young people. Here at Holy Innocents, the diocese, Province 4, the National Church, and even young people from Central America and some of the Caribbean islands. We work together. So, in a few moments, we will have a baptism, and we will have a new member of Christ's body. I did not know what I was doing half the time, and you may not either, but there is a call to all of us. There is a call to us. One of the young people wrote a song, and the response was, "I will with God's help." That's the response in the baptismal promise. I will with God's help. So, when you look at your life and you look within, you may see glimpses of the activity of the Spirit that you never really fully recognized and appreciated, but was working in you anyway. And so what do? You claim it. I will. I will. I will with God's help. Amen.